Amen. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they will not follow another voice. And there's a lot of voices out there in the world today. And I want to begin preaching to you some and teaching to you some on the importance of what it means to be a Christian. We talked about it some Wednesday night that they were first called Christians at Antioch because they followed the teachings of Jesus Christ, not believed in Jesus. How many of you know even the devils believe in Jesus and they tremble? But they followed the teachings of Jesus Christ. Look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor tonight, are you following the teachings of Jesus? Hallelujah. If you will, stand with me, please, out of respect for the Word of God. Matthew chapter 5, 12 verses of Scripture tonight, complete verses of Scripture. But I want to read just verse 3 and 4 to start off with. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Listen to that again. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, I love you tonight. And I know, God, there's only one way that anything beneficial can come from what I'm about to say. And that's for you to touch me with your Holy Ghost and help me, O Lord God. Hide me behind the cross. And speak through me to your people, Lord God. Give them ears to hear and hearts to receive what your spirit would say unto the church. And help us, O God, to not be forgetful hearers, only deceiving ourselves. But help us to be doers of thy word. And Lord, we'll be ever careful to give you the praise and glory and honor for all that you do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Shake three hands before you're seated and tell them you're glad to see them in God's house tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. As we study these famous words of Jesus out, we're going to find that they are broken down into three categories in which we as Christians can be blessed. We see that we can be blessed emotionally. Anybody, you need the hand of God to touch you emotionally? Amen. Many of us do. Then we can see that we need to be spiritually blessed. How many of you need God to bless your spirits tonight? Amen. And then lastly, but not least, we need our deeds to be blessed. And we might not get to all of this tonight, but I want to begin preaching to you on the importance of being blessed. How can you say that you are a blessed people? We looked at it today when we studied about Labor Day and that we are to labor for the reward that doesn't fade away. We looked at the fact that while there's nothing wrong with having wealth and having possessions, we are not to use them for ourselves, but we are to use them for the glory of God. Amen? And that's what it means to be blessed possessionally, where you own a lot of stuff or where you have a lot of goods, but you are to use them for the work for the Lord. The word blessed means you are well off. It means you are favored. It means that God has looked upon you and smiled upon you. And anybody who's accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior tonight, that's a blessed man. That's a blessed woman. Hallelujah. Anybody who's been sanctified, anybody who's had the rule of sin broken over their lives, that's a blessed person. Anybody who's been baptized with the Holy Ghost, that's a blessed individual when they've allowed the Holy Spirit to speak through them with other tongues as he gives the utterance. That's a powerful thing. But so often in the church, we treat it as a routine situation. We forget that God could have very easily said, you know what? I don't want to save you. God could have easily said, I don't choose you. I don't want you. I'm going to make another people. But God, in his mercy and his grace, reached down and he saved us. Think about that night. Think about that day. When you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ, God didn't turn you away. No, he drew you to himself. You're blessed. Despite, go ahead and give him praise. Somebody needs to praise the Lord in this house. You may not have the material blessings you want. You may not have the physical blessings that you want. Or you feel your need. But if you're saved tonight, you're blessed. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're blessed. But Jesus turns our attention, first of all, to our emotional problems. I believe there's a lot of people today that are dealing with emotional situations, and they need to remember that God cares about your emotions. He cares whether you're happy or whether you're sad. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. God cares about whether you're frustrated. God cares about whether you're disappointed. God cares about whether you're grieving, as we're going to look about in the next verse. But verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean to be poor in spirit? The word poor there means to be lacking anything. And there's where you see the problem of the church in the United States of America. The problem of the church in the United States of America is we feel like we have arrived. We have nice buildings, we have nice air conditioning and sound system and laser lights, and we own the internet, and we all over the place sharing the gospel of God. But we need to understand something tonight. Even though God has blessed us materially, we need to understand that God is the one who's given it to us, and we still need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Hallelujah. When was the last time you said, Lord, without you, I could do nothing? There was a song that they used to sing in the church. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. I want to remind you tonight, beloved, we need to humble ourselves. I told you about the mourner's bench and why we still have the mourner's bench and the need for the mourner's bench. We need to realize that our God is on the throne and our God is in control, and we need to trust him. Hallelujah. So poor means to lack something, to be lacking spiritually, to be lacking materially, or to be lacking financially. And I want you to understand something, beloved. Sometimes we've got to realize that we haven't arrived yet. Now, the spirit here means the vital principle by which the body is animated. We're talking about your soul, your mind. Are you poor in your mind tonight? Hallelujah. You might have a big bank account, but you can still be poor in your mind. You might have a great family, but still be poor in your mind. And a lot of people tell you, oh, well, you need to have an attitude of wealth. You need to claim it and grab hold of it and see it and go after it. But look at what Jesus says here. When you allow yourself to be humbled, that's whenever you come into the kingdom of heaven. When you're able to be saved is when you humble yourself down. So long as you think you can get it, you're going to miss the main thing. So long as you think you can do it, you're going to miss the main thing. But notice what he goes on and says here. Dealing with our emotionally blessed, we got to humble ourselves. But notice what he says here. Blessed are they that mourn. I looked that word up. And there's a lot of people that are mourning and over different things. Some have mourned over lost loved ones. Some are mourning because of physical problems. Some are mourning over financial situations. But beloved, many people don't turn to the right source here. Jesus says, what's the blessing of mourning? That word mourn means to lament, to be grieved, to be brokenhearted over. Here's the blessing of the mourner. Look what it says here. They shall be comforted. Hallelujah. What does that mean when you look it up in the Greek? It means that God is going to extend to you an invitation to come alongside of him and allow him to take that hurt and that pain away. Somebody needs to praise the Lord in here. Hallelujah. God don't force himself on you, and he's not going to just wake up one day and you're going to be free of guilt, or you're going to be free of mourning, of a broken heart. But God's going to extend to you an invitation to come down to the altar and deal with that situation with him and allow him to give you joy. The Bible says that weeping endureth for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but my God delivers them from them all. So, beloved, understand that when you are mourning, what you need to do is open up your heart to the invitation of God to come and let Him comfort you. Don't hide it. Don't cover it up. Don't deal with it in your own strength, but come to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now notice what the Word of God goes on and says here. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 5 with me. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, what does meekness mean? I love this definition of meekness. It means strength under control. Or as one writer put it as I was studying, those who are meek accept God's dealing with us as good. Is your God good? When is He good? All the time. Whatever you're going through, God is good. Whatever God allows to come into your life, He's allowing it to come in for your benefit. The Bible says, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, for those who are the called according to His purpose in Christ Jesus. Now, understand this. When we are accepting God's dealing with us as good, we don't dispute or fight with Him. We say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I like what this writer said. In the Old Testament, the meek are those who wholly rely on God rather than their own strength to defend against injustice. Thus, meekness towards evil people means knowing that God is permitting the injuries they inflict, that He is using them to purify His elect, and that He will deliver His elect in His time. Jesus put it this way. If your brother strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other. We looked at it earlier in the week. You don't resist evil in yourself, but through prayer and submit to the Holy Ghost, you allow God to give you the words to say. You allow God to give you the wisdom to use and deal with that situation. Too often we handle situations in our own strength and get in nothing but trouble. But God wants us to be meek. Hallelujah. He wants us to be emotionally meek. Now, what's the last emotion that Jesus deals with here? And it's going to kind of dovetail into the next section of this scripture as we look at it. He says, notice what it says in verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. Are there any people in Earl Church of God who want to be more holy? Amen. You want to be closer to God? Amen. Anybody you want more of the Holy Ghost in your life? Amen. Anybody here in Earl Church of God, you want the power of God to manifest in your life? Amen. That's a good thing. That's a blessed thing. There's a lot of churches, they don't even have churches on Sunday night anymore. Because they don't want righteousness. They feel like they've arrived. But when you truly want righteousness and you truly are hungry for righteousness, you can say, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm on my way to heaven. But there's still room to be better.
Amen.
There's still room to grow. You see your frailties. You see your mistakes. And you don't give up and say, well, you know what? There's nothing I can do about it. You say, no, I realize my human weaknesses, but by God, I'm going to overcome. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to overcome my anger. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to overcome my lust. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to overcome my inability to do what I need to do. And you seek after God. Don't allow yourself to become complacent. We need a revival of hunger for a move of God. I told you earlier that we need a revival of healing. Over 21 of our fellow brothers and sisters in this church are facing instances where they are going to go into surgery, or they are facing instances where they are in life and death struggles. We need a revival of healing. But how many of you know the Bible says that the Spirit of God cannot dwell in an unclean temple? And we want the Spirit of God to move. We got to purify our hearts and our minds and get our mind on the Lord again. And allow God to move through prayer and through fasting and through seeking him. Hallelujah. When you are really hungry, let me share what it means to be hungry. It means to crave adhitly, to seek with eager desire. That means you go after it with all you got. When Alicia got pregnant, when Michaela had Courtney, she never had a single craving. But boy, I couldn't go without a double cheeseburger. She'll tell you, I craved McDonald's double cheeseburger with french fries and Coca-Cola. I must have gained 30 pounds. Just off of that, while she was carrying the youngins, I had to have them. All different times, it would hit me out of the blue. And beloved, that taught me something. I want you to realize something tonight. When you're really craving God, you want to be in his house. Yeah. Every opportunity you get. Right. When you're really craving God, you want to worship him. Hallelujah. When you're really craving God, you want to do what his word says do. You can't wait to get into prayer. You can't wait, hallelujah, to get up to the altar. Hallelujah. You like, preacher, hurry up and finish so I can come pray. Hallelujah. We need to learn to be hungry again. Thirsty means that you painfully feel what you want. Do you want God so bad it hurts? Do you want God so bad that you're willing to do anything you can to grab hold of him? You're willing to give up whatever it takes to grab hold of God? I don't think we have that in the Church of America like we used to have it. Jesus said, you're blessed when you're hungry. You're blessed when you're thirsting after righteousness. That means the way in which a man may attain a right state approved by God. There's a lot of people in the world that's trying to tell you stuff is okay. But I don't care what man tells me is okay. I want to know whether God tells me it's okay. And go ahead and give him praise. A preacher might come in and stand behind the pulpit and tell you it's okay to dress in a certain way, to watch a certain thing, to go somewhere, to do something. But beloved, if God's word says it's wrong, it's wrong. God's word does not change. Hallelujah. God didn't change his mind, and he didn't put an appendix at the end of the Bible and say, oh, by the way, that was for then. We need to learn to live the word of God and hold on to the word of God, because it's what we're going to be judged by. Right. Oh, somebody praise God in this house. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is Jesus talking here. Now notice what he goes on and says here. When you are hungry, when you really get hungry for God, and you really get thirsty for God, hallelujah. Notice what it says here. You're going to be filled. If you want revival here at our Church of God, woo, hallelujah. All you got to do is really get hungry for it. If you really want to get revived, and you really want to see a move of God, you got to get to where you're aching for that thing. Hallelujah. Where you're saying, Lord, you got to move. I've seen God move, but every time I've seen God move, it's only come after a time whenever people have really humbled themselves down. And they've really said, not my will, but thy will be done. And they've really gotten to where they were thirsting for God. Are you at that place tonight? Are you there? Are you willing to say, you know what, I'm really okay. I'll be all right. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Listen, can I just be honest with you? I'm an ordained bishop in the Church of God. I've got a Bible degree from Holmes College of the Bible. I'm married. I got two great kids. I'm saved. I got saved October 31st, 1987. I was sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. But I need more of God.
Amen.
I need more of God in my prayer life. I need more of God in my marriage. I need more of God when I'm out there on the golf course. I need more of God when I'm going into town in the aching. I need more of God. And I've got a newsflash for you. So do you.
Amen.
We haven't arrived yet. We haven't got there. Hallelujah. I wanted to go on, but I just feel the leading of the Lord to stop right now. I'm going to ask Sister Sandy if she'll come back to the piano and get ready to lead us in worship.